This is season 2, episode 6 of the Transformation Chamber with TV host, actress, and entrepreneur, Stacey Ike. In this episode, we discuss her ideas of why your purpose goes wherever you go, why faking it till you make it is bad advice, and why every version of you counts. With that being said, let's step into the Transformation Chamber. So, welcome back to another episode of Transformation Chamber. I am excited. I am joined by the beautiful, the incomparable Miss Stacey Ike.
Hello.
Let me tell you guys a little bit about this queen here. She is a TV host, actress, and entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. She's the queen of the questions. That's what I've named you.
Ooh.
Yeah, I told you I did my research.
Wow, that's good.
So I hope I do you proud today because
awesome.
She's an amazing interviewer and she asks some of the most amazing questions to stump some of the greatest people like Oprah, you know, Tom Ford. Who else have you interviewed? You interviewed Amari Hardwick.
Oh, yeah.
Like super dope people.
He's
Melissa
such
McCarthy.
A favorite, yeah.
Like this, I mean, this lady is doing amazing things and I'm blessed to have her on the show. So, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Thank you for the introduction.
For sure, for sure. So let's get into it. Stacey, you, again, like I said, from Houston, you went to LA, mm-hmm. and you just like, it's kind of like just seeing somebody take off like a rocket almost, you know. And then I want to know the story behind it, right? Where did you start at? Obviously from Houston, but kind of tell us about your background and what made you make the transition to get to LA, and then now, given the whole COVID thing, you're back in Houston. Can you take us through that trajectory and how it happened?
Yeah, going to LA wasn't really that hard of a decision, but of course, there's things, the details that you know can be difficult.
Right.
So I went to University of Missouri for school,
nice.
Studied broadcast journalism there.
Okay.
And my sophomore year, got an internship in Los Angeles and was with like a PR firm and just wanted to see if I actually liked the city and if I was, all the dreaming was really what
right,
I wanted
right,
and whatever.
Right.
So at that point, I think I'm 20 years old and I fall in love with LA in
That's
such a
up.
Crazy way. I was like, wow. And I actually called my parents. I was like, hey, I'm not going to go back to college. I'm going to stay. And they're like, ha, girl, please. Get your butt on the plane.
Psych.
So
right.
So I had to go back to college, finish. Look at me. I'm like, I had to go back. Anyway, went back, finished. And after school, decided to move to Australia for a little bit because I was like, I really wanted to see what the industry looked like out there, especially
wow.
entertainment. I just wanted to see. I
think
I've always
Australia?
Been. Do you know the band Hillsong?
I do not.
Okay. Wow. They're like a Christian conservative. I would say conservative, but like a Christian
contemporary. Hillsong.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I
yeah.
Know
like
Hillsong.
The band.
I'm
so
sorry, yeah.
I was just really obsessed with them at the time. And I was like,
I thought you were saying, do you know the band Hillsong? Like,
are you
thing.
Cool with them? No, no, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, no. No of them. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I can go to church with Hillsong. About Australia has like always been a place I wanted to go.
Nice.
And I don't know. I mean, I didn't fully think it all the way through. But anyway, I was there for like 6 to 8 months or something, little less than a year. I don't remember. And eventually decided to come back. And I knew I wanted to move to Los Angeles, but I was like really trying to think, okay, what was the next move going to be? Especially because
sure.
my acting coach in Australia, she's like, hey, you're already American. I'm really not sure why you're here. You really should go to LA. And I was like, okay. So,
really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So came back. I was here in Houston for like 4 months. And then my parents, actually my dad specifically, was like, hey, you have a really bad attitude. What's going on with you? And I was like, that's so rude. He was like, no, you've been rude. What's going on? I was like, I want to live in LA. He's like, okay, well, let's help you pack your bags.
Wow.
So, yeah. My attitude was because I was so scared to just admit what I really wanted
right.
to do. And so, yeah, they were very like, all right, let's make this work. So I was like doing a retail job and, that retail job offered me a position, like a higher position. And I was like, I started crying and it was very dramatic. I was like, I have to move to LA. I
right.
cannot be here anymore. Like just
trying to
real.
Keep you here.
Right. I was like, time to go. So, yeah. So anyway, moved to Los Angeles in 2014. I've been there almost, it's been 6 years now. And I'm here in Houston because the pandemic, you know, as it happened in March and knowing that I have my family out here, I just didn't think I wanted to do LA by myself for this
yeah.
time. I'm really glad I made that decision.
Smart choice.
I had some friends and family who was like, hey, like maybe you should come back. And, you know, it's good to have another place to be able to be. But yeah, so it's been a journey for
sure. That's beautiful. And you made it to LA. I already rattled off some of the big names that you've interviewed and been able to smooze with. But then talk about you were the first host on OWN Tonight for mm-hmm. Oprah Network.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, Lyle. That's crazy.
Yeah,
So talk about that experience when you found out that that's what you were doing and what it was like. I saw some of the interviews. I think you did the cast of Greenleaf, which is like one of my favorite shows to watch. So I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. It was like the whole show was curated specifically for Greenleaf, which was very lit because I was very into TV reviews and just interviewing a lot of actors, directors, writers. That was like really becoming my niche.
For sure.
I was working at a place called AfterBuzz and Black Hollywood Live, and that was their focus, which was great. So I had a lot of training in just like talking to people, not only live, but about TV and film.
Absolutely.
So that was really dope. So I happened to meet Oprah on the red carpet in 2016. And she was there for her show, Greenleaf. And so, of course, like, you're not really sure if you're going to get to meet her, if you're going to get 5 minutes with her, what it's going to be like. So we get a couple minutes together. I did my two questions, got interrupted at all the journalists. It was so, man, I look back at that video. I'm like, I was a little rude. But I think I wouldn't say I was a little rude. I think we were all just trying to make sure we got our moment.
Yeah,
and we did.
Passionate.
I think everybody, So anyway, got a really dope moment with her. And then after, there was an after party, and she was just walking around. I was like, what? So
like,
I just went up to her and was like, hey.
Oprah's just casually
Had a little drink and she was doing her thing. She was like smoozing.
I would have been plotting and planning the whole time.
It was really like, So she was just chilling and I was like, I loved it. So I walked up to her and I literally just continued the conversation I had on the carpet. I was like, hey, on the carpet, we didn't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to bring this one thing up. And so she started laughing. We took a picture together. It was cool. Great moment.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, all right, cool. You're never going to meet her again. This was great. Cool.
Yeah.
And then I meet her again a few months later, because the show Queen Sugar came out, and she it was on her network, and she was producing it, so she was at the carpet. I'm like, this is crazy. So I had said, hey, good to see you again. I don't know if you remember me. And she was like, oh, I just watched your podcast. And it was just this whole whatever.
Wow.
She had just happened to watch a podcast I did with where I was interviewing the Greenleaf cast.
So
anyway, we see each other, great moment. And then I told her, I said, you should really come on an episode. And so she did. She called in. She was in Atlanta shooting a movie the next day and called in and was on the show. And like my friends were like, what? She's like on the show with us, because I had two other hosts with me who were great. And so three of us interviewed her. Great time. And then 6 months later, I got an email from a production company that was like, hey, she's a huge fan of yours. And there's a show we're doing called OWN Tonight. And like, I really think you should come be involved. And I was like, you think I should come be involved? So it was like really nuts. It was a really crazy,
that's
you know,
insane.
From then, obviously, it was like, I remember the way I was in a hotel room by myself in Canada. And I was like, I think I like saw the email and then closed my laptop. I was like, this is a lie. I should really read that email again. I haven't looked at it in a minute.
Like that one time was just,
oh yeah. No, I literally don't think I've read it since. Like, I mean, since that time. Like, I really don't think I've looked at it in a minute.
That's
so
amazing. Do you know how many women just want to be able to see Oprah, not let alone have a conversation, let alone be invited to be a part of a project that you're working on? Like, that's next level.
No, it was definitely, I mean, it was a huge moment in my career. It was a huge moment in my life. It was a huge moment for my parents, my family. Like, I just really appreciate it. I had such a beautiful, like, I just had so much support around the show. So many people were just really showing me some love. So it was a really great time. It was a very big learning time because I was going from one type of work to now you have your own show. And so it was very, like, fast learning. Everything from, like, get a team, agent, how do we do this? Who reads contracts?
Right.
How many people are involved with what you wear to be on network television? Like, it was so much stuff at one time, but it was really cool because I felt so ready. It was really dope.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Why did you feel so ready?
I had just been like practicing. I feel like I was already the most. Like, I was already doing the most. Every outfit I wore to the carpet was always the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was already, you know, I already had really cool stylist relationships. I already had people. I had my best friend Precious flying out to style me. Like, I was already doing the most. I was already, like, you know, it was very quickly after. I was like, all right, I need an assistant. Like, there were some things I fell into and I was like, okay, great, you've been waiting for this. And there were some things I just didn't know, like the lawyer stuff.
Uh-huh.
I was like, whoa, this is hard. So some of that stuff was like hard. I had some beautiful people around me to help me with that. But yeah, there was some parts that I was ready for the work for sure.
That's beautiful.
That was cool. It was just like, you know, there's details in the work. So
If you could translate that into practical knowledge for other people listening, how would you summarize that?
Man, that's because I think that's something I'm even still relearning, right? Not relearning, but learning again, because every time you have a new shift in your life before the shift happens. Let me say that. Before the shift happens, you are preparing. We talk about the preparation and the opportunities and the preparation, but we really don't think how serious that is. Mm-hmm. It really is. Like, if I didn't ask her the question I asked her, if I did not like decide to go up to her and like continue the conversation because of some stuff I had already known,
right,
I wouldn't have been able to, if I wasn't already into the show Greenleaf, mm-hmm, I wouldn't have been able to like be smoozing with that cast. Mm-hmm. I had already met a lot of that cast beforehand. Mm-hmm. When I got the show, they were just as excited as me. They were like, oh my God, Stacey's going to be hosting the show for
us.
That's
awesome.
Like, it was stupid. It was like, what? Like, these people like I really cared about and I really appreciate them. But I think a lot of that was because I was already watching the show. I was, mm-hmm, already preparing. I was always like, oh, if I was with her, we would have talked about that. That don't make, you know, I was watching interviews. I was trying to get the details in terms of the work. There was some other stuff, to be honest. I don't think you know everything.
Right.
But I think it's always about being okay with that. That's hard too. I think something like for me, I don't like not knowing stuff, but I'm getting better at it. So
yeah, man.
Yeah, we all don't know everything, but when you are okay with that part and you're willing to learn, that's a part of the details. And then in the other part, it's just staying prepared. And like, I know we talk about that a lot, but it's really like whatever you are trying to pursue while nobody's watching, you just have to be doing it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. That reminds me of I guess I heard it this way. Surmise it the best way I can. If a farmer or any type of person who works in agriculture waited until the season, mm-hmm, to start tilling, mm-hmm, the ground, they'd be too late.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be able to feed their family.
Of course.
All that work comes before the season comes. Yes. And then once the season comes, you're ready to reap the harvest.
Yes.
And so that's what that reminds me of.
Really good.
You have found success in an industry that is so hard, mm-hmm, right? And I don't know if you even know that, right? Like sometimes people are just so good, they don't even think about it. But it's so many people who would love to be where you are, where you've been, and where you're going. What do you attribute that to?
It's a very deep question. Well, the details before the question was the deep part, for sure. I attribute that to my belief systems, not just faith, but I think like, and I was talking about this with my siblings a couple of days ago, because I also feel like what people think is success, it changes, right? And so like, I'm so grateful to have had the experience that I've had. And I do feel like they were successful, but I think sometimes you're like, okay, now I kind of want to pivot into this, or I always want to expand whatever my level of connection is. Like,
absolutely.
I do believe my job is to connect on this earth. And so that used to look like it was the red carpets. And now when I had the show, I was like, it was hard for me to go back to 3 minute interviews. Uh-huh. I was like, I got to do 45.
Right.
Like, that's it. Wow. Like, I got to do 45 minute interviews. Cause I just knew that was like even deeper and better. Now I'm like, I got to have a whole show. I can't, like, it's just cause that's, I want it to be that. I want to be able to curate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted the commercial, all of it. So anyway, I say all that to say that like, I attribute those to even wanting that to a belief system of like, you have a gift, you are on this earth to do something. God is trying to use you to do something. Tap into that. I'm really grateful that I have a family who supports the gift and still, we keep each other humble in the sense of like, work and do the work,
absolutely,
do what you got to do.
Absolutely.
But we also try to nourish what we see. We're like, okay, no, you're dope. Like, come on. Like, I literally hit my brother, gave me a speech today on some, you know, because I was telling him like, maybe I should do this. He was like, no, you shouldn't. You should do what you've been doing. I was like, okay.
So
yeah, it was just hilarious. But yeah, I attribute a lot of that to just being faithful to the belief system of like, you can do this and you were given this, and just being willing to find out what that means.
I love it.
I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, there was a time I'd be like, oh, you know, or people have said like, you're so fearless. I'm like, no, that's not it. It's not about being fearless. It's really just about being like faithful and being willing and, you know, sometimes even doing it with the fear. That's the main thing I've had to figure out. Yeah, like definitely doing it with the fear too. So I attribute a lot of that to what I believe God has given me and who God is, and then to family for sure.
I love it. I mean, my next question was, what do you believe your purpose is? I feel like you might have just answered it. Do you want to expand?
Yeah, I mean, I think this world unfortunately feeds us this rhetoric that if you don't know exactly what you're supposed to be doing on earth, you don't have a purpose,
right?
And I just really don't believe in that. So when I talk about purpose, I also try to remind myself, mm-hmm, and other people that I wouldn't say that it changes, but the details of that change, mm-hmm, right? Absolutely. Like the purpose, the train to get there changes. Absolutely. So we're like, oh, okay, my purpose is this. If I say my purpose is to connect and my purpose is to, you know, I'm so obsessed with human beings. It's like a little weird, but I just mean that in the sense of like, I like who we are.
Right.
But I just hate that we don't know. We really don't. Like, we're so basic sometimes. We really just, we think all we are is these labels and all this stuff that like defies us. We think we're good, bad, that all that stuff is super like not it. Like, there's so much depth to us. We are like spirits having a, you know, a physical experience. And so when we really start like looking at each other and being like, ooh, you're in this insecure moment right now. Let's talk through that. Like, I just wish our communication was different. I'm like kind of intense sometimes when it comes to like communication, because I'm so obsessed with when you talk to each other based on knowing that we're here having this experience.
Absolutely.
It's different. We're not like, oh, I hate you. You don't say stuff like that. You're not right. Like, oh, I'm jealous of you. You're like, hey, in this moment, my spirit is like, or not even my spirit, my flesh is feeling this.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think that is instead? And then like, it's just weird. Like, you could actually have a conversation with the person you're jealous with, mm-hmm, and tell them that.
Absolutely.
It could be a totally different vibe, absolutely, right? And like, or somebody you're really proud of, excited about, or mad at. Like, arguments are different. Everything's just different.
Absolutely.
So I think
that's so good.
To me, that is a big part of what I believe my purpose is. But I think a lot of us are here for that same thing. We just do it differently.
Now that's beautiful.
So
like, you just like, I'm the same way. I believe we're spiritual people having a human experience. Mm-hmm. And I talk through the most awkward things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so fun.
Yeah.
You're like, well, what happened there?
Right.
Let's
oh my God. Can we go through it? Yeah. Oh my God.
And then you get to the end of
it. I will have friends with notebooks out. They'd be like, now this is
okay. And you have this saying, I don't know if you coined it, but I saw you said on your page, your purpose goes wherever you go. Or something to that extent. And I love it. I love that.
I did. Yeah. I had to learn that the hard way though. But yeah.
Let's get into it. I love to know, you know, I love to understand the story and how you learned it. And then also what you mean by it. So when people hear it and internalize it, they can take it with them too.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's the same thing as feeling like if you are not on the one path and you don't stay on that path forever, uh-huh, then you're unsuccessful or, mm-hmm, it's not going right. Because I also had to learn that, you know, I think something we don't get taught as young people, middle school, elementary, whatever, because, you know, they always say like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Right.
Instead of what are all the things you're thinking about?
Mm.
You know, what are the, I just feel like we coined this version of stay on track.
Right, right, right.
And it's really unfortunate because like it makes the word pivoting 5 seconds later very difficult. Yep. When you tell people like be okay pivoting, you're like, but you sold me this other thing.
Yeah.
So how are you going to tell me this other
thing? So true.
Really got to me for a while.
It's almost unhealthy.
Yeah. Because people are like, you know, don't be afraid to pivot. I'm like, I am afraid because you told me never to pivot because you said if I did this one thing for 25 years and I'd be sick. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, that's why we have people that are older than us who are like, I stayed in a job for 45 years and that's success. Now, it's not that it's not success.
Right.
But it's just saying the truth is that almost every human being has 3 careers in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Just like people in college change their majors.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually demonize that sometimes. Not always. Some parents don't. Some parents do. But it's like, we were like, oh, that person is unsteady, or right, they don't know what they want to do. It's right, like, I definitely don't, because I haven't experienced everything.
Absolutely.
And so once we start realizing that, how can you know everything you want to do when you've only experienced this one thing? I think it's a little unfair. So the reason I said the purpose part goes wherever you go, it's like, it goes in the pivot. It goes in the hard part. It, mm-hmm, goes low key in the confusion. It, mm-hmm, goes in the, which I hate confusion,
that's
but
so
it does
good
happen. It goes, the purpose is still there. You just got it. It's just a new path.
Absolutely.
So that, and I had to learn it this year because there was a job I was up for, a really huge project, and I didn't get it. And I really thought like that was my purpose. And it was so not, it wasn't because I didn't get it. And I was like, is my purpose gone? Like, I was distraught over that for a minute, and then I didn't have time to think about it too much because then the pandemic hit and I was like, all right, whatever, I'm just gonna go home. That's really when I came to Houston. I just wanted to like not think about my career for a little bit, because that had just happened. I was like, I'm off this for a second. So, you know, that's kind of, I think, when I learned it. You always learn stuff in pain.
Yeah, man, thanks for being transparent. I feel that so much, like, you know, personal stuff that I'm going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
You start to wonder, like, you know, am I really in my purpose? Mm-hmm. Like, or you get put in a situation and you feel like man, you know, you just start questioning everything.
Yeah, for sure.
But when you bring it back to like the reason why you're here, mm-hmm. like the reason mm-hmm. why, you know, and then mm-hmm. it starts to make sense. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you put your purpose at the forefront, a lot of the other stuff doesn't even matter. It's easier to mm-hmm. tune it out. But mm-hmm. sometimes we look at all the shiny things yes, and all the things sure, on the side sure. of, and so our for purpose sure. slowly moves out of our view. With that said, you talked about not getting the role of this, whatever this was, it was a role. Did I say
yeah,
that right?
it was a hosting job.
Mm-hmm. What did you feel like completely like, can you dig into how much did you put into that and how it has molded you since then?
Well, I auditioned for that project 5 times. So I was very sure I was going to get it. And so that just made that, like, you know, you're stepping, you're high, you're going higher. That made the fall really like high. Cause you're like, y'all could have had me audition twice and
right.
tell me.
And tell
then
me,
I would have, that would have been, that's a very different thing. I auditioned a lot. So it's like, I don't get a lot of things. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
But when you're meeting everybody and getting to know the team, find out how much you're going to make, your agent's like, oh, we got, like, that was a lot. And I was like,
don't even tell me. Until
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm calling the family, like, this is probably what it is.
Yeah.
Like, that made it a lot more difficult. That's happened a couple of times in life, but this specifically, I think it just felt like it was going to be that big pivot. And so anyway, I do believe that, man, life is so beautiful. It's such a chaotic mess because it really shows you what you think, it shows you what you need, not what you think you need. Mm-hmm. And it gives you what you need as well. And so like what I thought I needed was this show, but what I really needed was to remind myself that I'm not defined by any show.
Mm.
Like the skill doesn't leave, the tools don't leave. So for me, it definitely made me shy away for a second because I was asking myself, you know, what am I doing wrong? Like, what am I doing wrong? That was really what was getting to me. And I think that another hard part, when I go out for acting positions and I don't get them, you know, it hurts, but it hurts less because I'm playing a character. When mm-hmm. I go out for hosting positions and I don't get them, I'm like, you guys don't like me.
Mm.
And that can be a little more painful just because, like, I do feel a lot more, you know, I don't want to say well-versed, but I've been hosting a lot longer.
Right.
And so this project was just, I mean, 5 times, you're like, nah, they got it. Like, we got it.
Yeah.
There's a synergy.
Yeah.
So when that didn't happen, which is, it happens. There's you and one other person. It goes to the other person, whatever. But I'm not specific position, I couldn't understand what was the difference,
right,
you know, and like that very much was like a, what am I doing here, and like, do you guys need me, and am I important, and all this stuff.
Ooh.
And like, do my stories matter, and like, it was very a I lot did. So I had to find I found a lot of solace in cooking, which was very healing and very surprising because I didn't cook a lot previously to that. Like, truly, I went vegan, right? Like, it was just a whole mess. It was like a whole
like,
it wasn't
redefine.
All for the show,
right.
But it wasn't about that necessarily, but because it was all happening a month before this anyway. But literally, I had like, I happened to go vegan, and then I was like super experimental and like having a great time in the kitchen, and then this show happened. I was like, I'm just gonna stay here. And it wasn't about like, it was like about a new level of serving.
Right.
So I was like trying new things, and like having my parents, like, everybody come downstairs. I made this new meal. And then new, I mean, I was literally cooking like 3 times a day.
I love it.
It was so dramatic, but it was like, I really needed to just
unplug.
Do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally understand. I've personally been through times in my career where I didn't quit, but I needed a sabbatical.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Like, hold
so
on.
So good.
Let me pull back.
So needed.
Yeah.
So needed.
Let me look at the scope and recalibrate, like,
sure.
What's happening here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you don't, it's not a fair check-in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's fine to run really fast, but it's also like, is it fine? Like, are you
swollen running?
You can only
running?
Run, like,
yeah, you
know.
Can only
I
run
just,
really fast
for so long.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a marathon, as they say, but every now and then you need a sprint. So now I'm with that 100%. And then, you know, the worst thing is when maybe self-doubt creeps in. Like, for example, maybe you didn't get the part, but mm-hmm. maybe it had absolutely nothing to do with your skill.
Mm-hmm.
You probably were far better than the other person, but maybe she fit one small criteria.
Mm-hmm.
But we start to tell ourselves or question ourselves.
Yes, yeah.
And so I'm happy to see like you kind of back at it, standing up strong, standing up straight, and like knowing where you are. Because what I really loved is how transparent you were on your Facebook. I told you I stalked you before we did the interview.
Okay.
And I was like, yo, this is a real genuine.
I'm really grateful that people say that, you know, it's so interesting because people are like, I've heard that a few times, and I don't know if it's like because I was at my birthday party and a few people said that to me, and I was like, what are y'all talking about? But it's really cool that somebody says, I appreciate you being transparent, because I'm just trying to tell the truth.
Right.
And really just don't want people to believe that they're the only ones going through what they're going through.
Absolutely.
I hate that. Absolutely. I hate it so much because I felt that for a long time. And I was like, wait, this is so weird. Like, you start opening your mouth and talking to people, and then you find out everybody's going through one thing or the other. And mm-hmm. you're like, this is so crazy. How come no one talks about it?
Absolutely.
And so that was the only reason I probably felt. And I had to also do that when I was healthier. I couldn't do it in the midst of while it was happening. I think that would have been unfair to the process. And now you're looking to get validation for healing when you got to do that on your own.
Absolutely.
And then that's when the sharing can start, and it Absolutely. Feels like transparent. It's awesome. It's fine. But I appreciate you saying that, because I was like, oh, you know, when you cry on Instagram, like, that's not the goal.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I mean, you got some people fake crying for likes and tears. No, you can feel it. You can feel it in the video. And the beauty in it is that after you go through it and you get to the sharing stage, you start to realize that it was for other people too.
Yeah, for sure. Retrospect, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we, you know, again, we beat ourselves up, but sometimes what we're going through is not only for our development, but for the understanding and development
of
others. So
staying
in service, kind of like you talked about earlier.
Yes,
absolutely. Okay. You talked about, and I couldn't wait to get here, because this is a popular saying and you decided to go against it. Fake it till you make it.
Oh.
And you broke it down like, nah, fam. And the way you broke it down was so eloquent and articulate.
Thank you so much.
And so I was just hoping that I can get you to share that advice on my show so people can kind of hear what you were saying. Like, I don't even want to try to attempt to do it because I'll mess it up. So I'll leave it to you.
That's so funny. When I put that video out, I went to Mexico for my birthday. I went to Tulum with my best friend, and it was so important for me to spend time to reflect. So I actually spent a couple of days after she left by myself. And like, I was writing down all the things that I just don't believe is true. I actually wrote it down that it's like a supposed to list.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was fake it till you make it. And I was like, this is such bad advice. This is so bad. And like, what does that even mean? So I ended up doing a video and I was like, wow, you just said all that out loud. But I just think it's so bad. It's bad advice because it's an immediate invitation for not being vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
which I think is so unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
It is an immediate dismissal of connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's an immediate dismissal of learning. It puts that same thing that I for sure have been like currently working through and making sure does not become my like, just isn't in front of me. Like, I want that to be behind me. That fear of learning to do something different because
Absolutely.
Then you're like failing or
Absolutely.
Trying something new or whatever. When you are faking it till you make it, you are asking less questions.
Mm-hmm.
You are discovering less. You are connecting less. You are not being. And that is whack.
Man.
It's so whack. I was like, what horrible advice? Who came up with this?
Right.
And then I want to know who came up with it, because I'm like, so how did that work out for you,
right,
buddy?
Right.
Because I'm sure that person is fine. But then you get to a place and you don't even know who to ask questions because you couldn't ask questions all the way on the way.
Yep.
You got there and you really, like, you're only there based on the fact that people think you are arrived.
Mm.
But you never will feel like you deserve to be there.
Mm.
I love when I'm like, I mean, I just think maybe everybody won't feel that way, but I personally know that as humans, we do a lot to like make people think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't want to make y'all think. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sure I am thinking.
Exactly.
Like, it's really a lot harder to make sure y'all think I'm equipped and worth it and better. That's so much work.
Good. That's so good.
So I just prefer to feel that for myself, because you show up differently.
Mm-hmm.
You show up a lot differently when you're like, nah, I'm supposed to be here. I asked a whole bunch of questions on the way here. Mm-hmm. Like, I connected with all these people. Look at all these vulnerable moments I had, all these teaching moments I had, mm-hmm. all this failing I did, all this flying I did. Like, all of that is allowed to happen. And I think when you fake it till you make it, you really just don't do any of that. So I'm just kind of over it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's one of those moments. I already know. That's a clip that's going on Instagram.
I was like, we're done with this. Yeah.
No, I think that's so true. It's so much, so often we fall in love with the perception.
Yeah.
What it looks like.
Yeah.
Trying to focus on how I come off to people, what they think about me, instead of just truly doing the work and developing.
Because I'm telling you, like, when you get to a quiet moment, which I hope that 2020 gave us that, even though it was really painful, like, it was a forcing to stay inside. But if you chose to do it, you also went inside,
uh-huh.
right? And so you're in the house, plus you're in your heart, you're in your mind, you're in your soul, you're in your spirit. And you have to be like, what am I thinking? And once you get there and you're like, so all of this was like other people's belief stuff I put on myself, or other people's approval, right, other people's.
Right.
It's so much more. It's so exhausting. So it just, yeah, like, no. Like, it's just a no for me.
This is why I was excited to have this interview. So you, I have this weird question that I want to ask you, and hopefully you have an answer, but
okay,
it's what came to me. I was like, okay, I got to have that one question, because she always has that one question. So let me see if I can have this question. Let's see how it works. My question to you is, why is your smile important to humanity?
Oh my gosh. That's such a beautiful question.
I did it. I passed the test, y'all. Wow.
No. I had no test. I don't do tests, but wow. My personal smile, or yeah, people's smile?
Stacy's smile. I mean,
Oh,
so if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. If not, go check the video. I mean, this episode out on YouTube. It's one of the first things people see. When I met you, you was like, ah, I was like, okay, all her teeth are there.
Oh my gosh.
Why is it so important?
Isn't that really a question you would answer? Because like, would I answer about my own smile?
I mean, so you can take it any type of way. What is it that makes you smile? And then why is that important to keep you smiling, and how that?
Sure.
I mean, wow. Or you can just say it's not, you know. It's,
oh, no, I believe it is, because I think smiling, and specifically my smile, is important to disarm people. Mm. I think there's a lot of we all have it, and it's totally fine. But it's unfortunate when nobody's willing to break it. Uh-huh. Right. And so like, you meet somebody new, you could go 50 different ways. You can go, hey, yeah, I've nice to meet you. You could go, nice to meet you.
Right.
You can hug them. You could shake their hand. You could give them an elbow. You could do several different things. You could be cold. You could be hot. You could be confusing. You could be timid. You could be everything. Mm-hmm. And for me, it just feels so much easier and so much better and so much more connected to give that invitation of smiling, because it's a moment of disarming. It's saying like, hey, you're walking into my space, which is safe.
That's awesome.
And I hope that when I walk into yours, you feel like you can be like, okay, let me be safe. And like, let me be the trustworthy person that I truly am. But it's harder. We have to do the self-preservation thing first.
Right.
And it's like, well, we could put that in the back seat, and then we could have other things drive. We could do self-trust. We could have self-compassion. We can have humanity. But we go with the self-preservation because of how we're trained.
Yep.
And so I think the reason it's just makes me feel me, which, you know, could be selfish or whatever, but to smile and to give that off is because I want other people to feel like when they're walking to my space, that's what they're getting.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I knew you would have a great answer. Okay. Moving along. You're first generation Nigerian, uh-huh, my fellow sister. Mm-hmm. When you take into account of police brutality, not only here in America, obviously we're dealing with SARS in Nigeria. I just love to hear your thoughts around it. Some things that you think we need to do to heal, and how it's, if it has affected you, how it's affected you.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I wasn't ready for that one, but sorry. It's okay. It's just, it's been so much. And I mm-hmm. think, especially at the time it was so much crying in my house. Well, I think I was with all my siblings at the same time, and we're all very expressive, and we feel and we think and we talk. And so it was just a lot of different types of talking. And I think one thing I learned is I am a very positive person. And that was a really dark time for me, because the world was just so bad. And I know that like the world has its bad stuff. The uh-huh. world is low key kind of bad.
Right.
But I just have done this thing where I'm like, well, no, there's underlying, right? And like with police brutality, there's nothing underlying. You're just bad. Like, this is just trash. Mm-hmm. And so it was very just painful to watch how some people reacted, how some people didn't. I had to sit in a lot of the things that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I spent that time a lot inside the most, specifically with George Floyd. There was obviously so many deaths that happened, but George Floyd's it hit everybody very hard. And, you know, it meant Philando Castile. I remember like his death hit me so, so hard. I just was like, Eric Garner's hit me really hard. And every single one of these has taught me more about the things that I just didn't really, I wouldn't even say just didn't pay attention to, but I address this with my parents sometimes. And I was like, hey, how come we didn't talk about this like a lot? Mm. And for them, they're like, it's painful to constantly bring this to you guys' attention. Mm. We had the bare minimum conversations, the, hey, we need you to do this when you get pulled over. Like, we've done that, but not as intensely as I think I wish we would have,
right.
Which I don't know, as a parent, I don't know what that's like. Right, like, right, they're right. Like, so how do we sit down and tell you guys people yeah. that every day? Like, how are we supposed to do that? And then we have this dual lens, and, you know, some of police brutality experiences specifically in the Black community, like, wasn't theirs until they got here mm-hmm. in the same way. So now they're kind of coming in their 20s talking to you about it. They have both had their own experiences. So, you know, and I've had mine, and it's just like, it was, a lot. I know I'm kind of going around because I'm not actually sure.
No, it's and
where I want.
It's such a big issue.
Topic, yeah.
Yeah, it's nowhere to. But I recognize that we both were our first generation mm-hmm. Nigerians, and it's like, well, we got to deal with it here, and then our cousins and our aunts and our aunties back home are still dealing with mm-hmm. it there. And I was just talking to my camera guy Joel about just like how, you know, the Black. Our African race all over the world, sometimes it seems like the least loved race, even in our own homeland, which is sad. And so it's just so much to deal with. So just the ability to wake up every day, going back to your smile and ability to push forward and push, you know, hopefully to get to the height of our existence. Yeah. Shout out to Kamala Harris. Right.
Right.
Those people who laid the groundwork before us, that's why we wake up and strive so hard every day and just try to make good decisions and be better people. So
I will say something my sister taught me. I'll definitely have to give her credit because we walked through this together. The whole, like, I identify as Nigerian American mm-hmm. and I had to just be real with myself that as much as I identify as Nigerian American, I am American first mm-hmm. because this is my actual cultural experience, whether I like it or not, which I did not like to admit that. Cause I was like, no, I'm Nigerian. And she's like, yeah, but like, when did you live in Nigeria? I was like, it was so true. Like, you know, you see, I just, even now I'm like remembering that conversation. It was so hard because I was like, but I have this other thing. She's like, yes, you have a lens, but you don't have an experience. And I was like, not really loving that, which just made me realize where my, not loyalty lies, but just where I need to make sure I'm also being protective.
Absolutely.
And like, this is my culture as well. And even though there are parts of, and then just now you have to sit in that, like about what parts of being American is not right. Not
right.
Necessarily just being Black American, but being American.
American,
like, we
period.
Are so, you know, we're just, sometimes we just have such interesting Western ideals. And when it comes to police brutality, there's a lot for us to fight for and there's a lot for us to demand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I want to start demanding as well as making sure I'm fighting, specifically when it comes to incarceration and things like that. But yeah, just to never stop fighting just because I have this other lens.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. So you have this concept that I love, like, dearly. When I heard it instantly, I was like, yo, that's so good. Because there are some parts of me that I just don't know sometimes.
Mm-hmm,
but you say every version of you counts.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I read it, there was an overwhelming feeling of calmness on me.
Ooh, amen.
Like,
ooh, that's
good. And I'm serious. It's like, man, you got to give yourself grace that's in certain good. Areas. You got to give that's yourself good. Love in certain areas, even when you don't think you deserve
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And so I just love the concept so much. And I was hoping that you, you know, be open to just expounding upon it to share with my listeners.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing. That's really amazing. I think that, again, society has built a career and billions of dollars off of never enough culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they need us to believe we're not enough so that we can keep buying and consuming mm-hmm. and needing other things to fill us, right? And so once I realized, like, I knew, we know, but we still be like, whatever.
Right.
And then when you see it and feel it, like, I remember a couple of days into the pandemic and like a lot of networks and a lot of streaming services were like, hey, we came up with this new thing. Hey, we just dropped 50 movies and hey, and hey. And
right.
you're like, hey, none of this is going to help me get healthier
because
right. there's a pandemic and I have no idea if I have work tomorrow. So why do I need this new movie?
Right.
And I was so offended. I was so offended. I was so annoying because I was like, is something going on that I'm like missing? Is this like supposed to make us feel better?
Right.
Like, this is literally masking 101. And I just was so pissed that it made me realize that when businesses and capitalism basically sells us all that stuff, it's for us to like not spend time with the parts of us we don't like.
Mm.
And so like
distractions.
Yes. Keep more distractions up. And so I had to sit with the days that I am like, annoying. Like, I'm annoying, yeah, and we're all annoying, and we can all be annoying, and somebody's annoyed by us, and right, we can be a villain in somebody else's story. We're not all the best of friends all the time. Some days I'm a great friend and some days I suck. Some days I text back and some days I don't. Mm-hmm. Some days I am selfish and some days I'm self first and some days I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, but if you don't sit with yourself long enough, you don't address those right things. And so I had just, you know, did what the pandemic showed us we should do or could do and sat with myself for a minute. And by the time that video came out, I think I was just, I record a lot of kind of just like my life as much as I can. And I was editing and I saw that I had a video of me like crying. I had a video of me being like very every day. I had a video of me cooking because sometimes I remember how I was feeling in those moments. And I think like when I was spending some time cooking, I thought secretly, I was like, okay, this is like cool, but it's not as good as the other stuff I do. Mm. People like me when I'm doing XYZ. People like when they can see me. And I didn't want to make a lot of content around that time. Yeah. And so it was very hard for me because I was like, I don't want to, but this is when people like me. So mm-hmm, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And I had to really pick like, you don't want to. Like, so I found a middle ground. Like I made content in the middle. And like, as I look back, I'm like, oh, once I decided I don't want to, I ended up freely making things mm-hmm and putting out some stuff. But man, I just had to pick like, what is going to make you feel healthy right now? And I'm always trying to pick what's the healthiest thing for you right now. And just trying to follow that over and over. So every version of you counts is supposed to signify that you're healthier. You're not necessarily always going to be at your healthiest, but even the parts that aren't healthy, mm-hmm, even the parts that suck, even the parts that are superhuman, they count. Because once we start saying they don't count, then you're like, so you're only good when you're perfect, exactly, which is when we do the, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole other thing.
That's so real.
So I just feel like we have to be okay to address the parts that just, they suck. Like we all suck a little bit. We have to. We're all a little bit of a loser. Yeah, okay. We're all a little bit of a winner. We're all a little bit of a cool person. Right. We're all a little bit of a hater. We all are. These are human traits. And once we start, you know, just saying them and being them, and then you can address, I don't know, it just feels better that way.
Man, yeah, just let that sink in, that every version of you counts. I just think those are just such powerful words. Yeah. I want to give you a chance to talk about Human to Human. You have your own platform.
Yeah.
And you already kind of spoke about Fight Your Fairy Tale a little mm-hmm bit, but could you just talk about where people can listen to you at and find you and just your amazingness? So.
You guys, Human to Human is like a child to me. It's such a wonderful thing. It's birthed out of a lot of these conversations we're having now, a lot of the topics we're having now, because again, I've been in the entertainment space for a while. I love the types of people I've gotten to meet, the creatives I've gotten to meet. But what I also love is because I know some of them personally, I'm like, they're not just an actor. They're not just a business person. They're not just a whatever. I just wanted to show as much of we share the same threads as possible. And so Human to Human was, I was thinking about it in November of last year when I was going through my like, is there more to life? Like, I want to go deeper vibe. And then I shot two episodes in March, then the pandemic happened and I was like, okay, forget the show. And then I had a friend call me in May and he was like, hey, I feel like you're like missing from the internet. What's going on with you? And I was like, that's a lot. And he was like, your voice isn't out there. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to hide. What's up? So he was like, well, I don't know what you're hiding, but you should come back out. And which was really cool of him because wow.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so I started shooting more episodes. And so anyway, the show is really delicious, guys. Like it's so good because everybody just like, I'm so grateful. Everybody feels like, all right, let me just come on the show and tell Stacey the truth, right, basically. Right. And they do. And it's so like good. Some of your favorite people, you know, I had Logan Browning from Dear White People on there. I had Sam Adegoke from Dynasty. I had Hillary McBride, who's in a wonderful, like she's a therapist, but she's a podcast host for The Liturgist, major singer, like just so many good people. Yeah, and yeah, I'm still building it, but it's 13 episodes out already. So please check it out. It's StaceyAgg.com/human-2-human. Or you can go to my Instagram. There's a link right there and you can go see all the episodes too.
Man, so lovely. I'm so happy I got you on the show. Okay. Yeah. We're going to go to the next part. I saw you do something like this, so this won't be anything too hard for you. It's okay. Called rapid fire.
Okay.
The only rule is you have to answer as fast as you can.
Okay.
So I'll say a word and you say the first thing that you think of, and then we'll do a this or that. And then like a open-ended question, sentence, and you answer the sentence. All right. Mm-hmm. Super easy. First word is legacy.
A family.
Black man.
Beautiful.
Power.
Share.
Fashion.
Love.
Queen.
Me.
Favorite song.
Mood Forever.
Favorite actor.
no.
Not having it.
I'm like,
it.
I don't have,
it.
No.
Good. Favorite movie?
Ooh. God, I have so Rapid many favorites. Fire. I have so many favorites.
It's to go fast.
One Day is my current favorite. Okay. One Day is my current favorite.
Okay, with this or that. Heels or beachside?
Beachside.
Love or money?
Oh, love.
Jollof or pound of yam?
Jollof.
Nollywood or Hollywood?
Hollywood.
Would you rather marry a guy who is 4 feet tall and super successful or a guy who's 6 feet tall and only has potential?
6 feet tall, with potential. You don't want me to. Sorry. Sorry.
Okay. Stacey Ike is?
Constantly evolving.
That's good. If I had a superpower, it would be?
To make everybody see themselves.
My best feature is?
My smile.
There we go. My 20s summed up in one word.
Over. I just turned 30, you guys.
Oh, happy belated to you.
Thank you. Wait, I feel bad. I'm like, I did have a really beautiful 20s. Right. Experiential?
There we go. Experiential. Yeah. Yeah. Describe yourself in 3 words. I got 3 words.
Dang.
If there was a buzzard, it would have went off.
Yeah, I'm sure I can hear Steve Harvey being like,
Shout out to Alex Trebek.
Yes. Oh, God. Such a beautiful person on the broadcast. Engaging. Mm-hmm. Compassionate.
Okay. One word. Just one more word.
Charismatic.
Lovely. Okay, so we have the people want to know. The people want to know, what are you watching, reading, or listening to? Doesn't have to be motivational, inspirational, just
okay.
What are you doing in your free time?
Okay, what am I watching? I am watching Girlfriends.
Girlfriends,
yes.
Nice.
I'm reading. Well, I'm listening to The Essentialist. It's on Audible.
Nice.
It's, obviously, you can read it as well, but it's wonderful. Yes. Precious probably told you about it.
Oh, Precious told me. Yeah.
She put me on. And I'm on the third time reading it, or listening to it.
Nice.
I love it so much. I'm also listen to the Liturgist podcast.
Nice.
I listen to How I Built This.
Okay.
Love Guy Raz. He's so dope.
That's awesome. My last guest is listening to that too.
Yes, yeah. So good. I am reading. I just finished reading Brené Brown. Daring Greatly, and The Gifts of Imperfection. I'm currently reading, I cannot remember the title. I just read, I'm on chapter 7, but I can't remember the title. The Untethered Soul. I'm currently reading that. And then, watching more Girlfriends.
More Girlfriends. Nice. And then obituary question. So it's year 2300. You live to be really old. I don't know. And you still look just as great. But we're at your funeral.
I don't want to be here that long.
There we go.
Deuces.
What do you think your obituary would read?
That is super unfair.
It is. That's why I asked the question.
I will not answer that. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. What would you hypothetically, let's just say, I got it. What would your brother write about you?
Oh. That's so emotional. That's so much. Oh my God. I love my siblings. So they would probably all go up there together, low-key.
Nice.
Because we're tight. I pray to be tight forever, because it's the more we grow older, the more we're like, oh, look at us turning out to be different people and having to still respect each other. Look at that.
Right,
so
right.
It's pretty cool. But I don't know. I don't think I'm going to fully answer this, but I just think that they would go up there together and it would be really emotional, and hopefully I feel like they would say beautiful things, because we try to continue to see each other and care about each other and
nice.
Take care of each other, but also challenge each other. So something like that.
Okay.
They probably say act like their second mom.
There we go. I mean, that's all it had to be. For some reason, people get real deep.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. But it's just like, I mean, you said, what would people like, say if you died? I'm like, that's like pretty intense.
A second mom. Boom.
Yeah. That's okay. Cool. So, well, then bye.
And then the last thing is parting advice. Any advice you've heard in your life that you'd love to share, or it might be something that you have on your own. You've already given us like way too many nuggets, but anything that you've heard or that you like to tell people or leave with people?
So I will say something that I literally read today because I didn't actually realize this, that our hearts store up every memory that we like made really a big deal. Because like, okay, so life experiences, every single moment, every single experience is supposed to pass right through you. So you make room for more. And I didn't like, you think that, right? But then you also think like, we always talk about memories. Like, mm-hmm. How was your being eight and blah, blah, blah. And then when people say they don't remember, you're like, oh no, like what happened?
Right.
But really, it's kind of amazing not to remember because you've had so, like, that means you've let everything go through you. Mm. And it's actually more wonderful because, like, think about something that happens to you. Let's say you, you know, pass by a certain house and you remember that that's where you broke up with the girl that you were, like, upset, in love with, right? 5 years later, you marry somebody else, you're in love with that person, and you pass that house up, and your emotions still react. Mm. Just because as a human, like, we think it's, we're like, why do we, you know, still have that thing? Yeah. And I've just learned that we're actually, like, it's easier to sit in that pain and let it pass than to like bottle it up and keep squishing it because it'll always keep coming up, which means you're never leaving room for the next new experiences to take over. So I was super slapped with that today. And I was like, that's so unfair. Because like, I think about like the moment that, you know, somebody you cared about so much said, I love you, and how much we go back to it because we're like, I love how safe I felt in that one moment.
Right.
But then you think about the new person in your life who says it, and then you think like, how come it doesn't hit as much? You left so much, you put so much pressure on the old thing.
On the old thing.
Right? Because you thought you'd never get better, and then you got better, and you just didn't, like, you just never let that other thing go.
Wow.
And so, or like pain that happened, and that it was so fair that you stored it because it was painful, but it's so much easier to sit in that pain, let go of that pain, than to hold on to that pain because you're literally taking away storage from other things. And that's actually what a healthy heart means, that you're constantly letting things flow. I was very shook myself. Man. I'm repeating it. I it's not mine, but oh my goodness, that like got to me. I was like, that was Matthew Singer, Untethered Soul. I mean, seriously. So not something I would have normally said, but it just got to me so much today. And I was like, oh my God, we so don't do this. Like we just don't. We store every argument. We store the good stuff and the bad stuff. But literally life is constant expressing, and constant experiencing. And when you're open, that's when then people are like, life is beautiful. And you're like, what are you talking about? That's what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it makes sense, though. The more you hold in your heart, the less room you leave for
other things.
Yeah.
And like, how could that be? That's so unfair. Like, you're still here, which means that you have so much more to do and live and experience. So you should make room.
Yo, Stacey Ike, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
I really, really appreciate you. I knew it was going to be good. Just
this
after
was really good. This is really
after
good. Amazing question.
I've been hunting you down for how long now? It's been a couple months.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, I feel like started talking like a year ago, but I might pop in Houston. You're like, are you here?
Exactly.
And then I'm like, I'm gone again. Yeah.
So this was not easy to make happen. So I'm very happy that
thanks for being persistent.
Yeah,
thank
man. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Transformation Chamber.
Thank you guys.
See you guys next time. Peace. Thanks again for tuning in to the Transformation Chamber. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. To find out more about Stacey Ike, visit her website at stacyike.com or follow her at One Take Stace. To find out more about the Transformation Chamber, visit joshuatdada.com or follow me at joshuatdada. Until next time, see you soon.